Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Worker's Mic, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor, right here on 720 WGN. I'm Ed Maher with the Midwest Coalition of Labor, and with me, as always, is my trusty counterpart, Phil Davidson from the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council.
Hi, Ed.
Happy Sunday. How Phil?
I did it.
You did. I like it.
You like it?
I love it.
All right, good.
I love it. Ken's not here today. Ken is out spreading the word, I think in Michigan, but across the Midwest. He's going to visit with some different unions. And
guy's always working.
He really is.
Yeah.
You know, Ken, he's a hard worker when he's, you know, not on his summer schedule of punching sharks and rodeo fantasy camp and all those other fun things that he likes to do on the weekend. But yeah, yesterday, we were out last week. One of our guests was Stu Clark, the CEO of Premise Health that, opens some of their, runs some of these,
always a fan favorite. Stu.
He's awesome. We get so many comments talking about how great Stu is, because he has such an inside understanding of the healthcare industry with kind of a focus on what's wrong with it.
Right.
Which I think
everybody tells it like it is, this guy.
Yeah, everybody has frustrations with the way that healthcare runs in America, namely that it's expensive, it's not accessible, and we're the only country where you can get sick and go bankrupt as a result.
There is that, yes.
Yeah, there is that, which Stu's, you know, doing his part to
try to inefficient.
Fight.
Yeah.
But the Midwest Coalition of Labor opened up another health center yesterday, and this is the fifth one in just the last 5 or 6 months.
Yeah, down in Utica.
In Utica, out by Starved Rock, out where the air is clean.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil was out there also, so we are just having a fun weekend together this
weekend. Good crowd, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And out in that area, it was interesting because they closed one of the hospitals in the area, so it is truly difficult for folks to even get somewhere.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Emergency,
or
to just get any kind of care when something's wrong. So this health center is open for members of the Operating Engineers 150 and the Mid-America Carpenters, so there was a lot of excitement at the event just to have something nearby, and of course all those services are free to
the members
of those unions. So it's a great model. It seems to be working. Talked to a lot of people. They were excited. But all anybody can talk about right now, Phil, is waiting for the cicadas to come out of the ground.
Oh, the 17-year brood.
Right? We're supposed to get it really bad, but I guess not as bad as like Southern Illinois. They're getting two broods.
Ooh.
Two broods.
Converging broods.
And I think the broods are going to be battling it out while we're just left to, you know, wait.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I don't know.
There's going to be a lot of collateral damage.
There's going to be a lot of little shells and wings. And I'm just worried about my dog because my dog will eat anything. And I mean anything.
What do they say about that? Is it bad for them to eat?
I don't know. I figure it's protein. I think they eat them in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, just dip in some chocolate or something.
I guess. But my dog will probably come out of this summer with,
think about that.
Very defined, like, shoulder muscles from all the protein she's eating out in the backyard.
That's right.
So
that's it's a tough life for those cicadas. Did you know that the male dies immediately after mating with the female?
I feel like humans are one of the only species where that doesn't seem to happen.
Oh.
At least in the insect world, it's very common.
Yes.
Right?
Going out on top.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
I guess like you accomplished your one goal in life.
Yeah.
I like to think there's more to us, Phil.
That's the ultimate mic drop right there.
All right. And he was dead. So long, cicada. So, I live in a very tree-lined old neighborhood, so I think we're going to get it bad.
Yeah, because I've got a treehouse in my backyard, and last summer...
Is it a magic treehouse?
It is a magic treehouse.
Nice.
Yeah, I got posters in there.
You have like a record player in the black light?
I do.
That's awesome.
I got my Led Zeppelin posters. It's great. It's my little home away from home.
I'm sort of sad that I've never been invited to hang out in your treehouse because it sounds like fun.
We're going
to
do it soon.
Okay.
Whenever the time is right. Once the cicadas clear out, trust me. We'll have a good time up there. But the shells will just be covering the structure. It's going to be brutal, but...
Well, best to everybody out there.
Yeah.
These suckers are going to start coming out in like the next week, so we might have more cicada fury on next week's show. But looking forward to this week's show.
We have
Chrissy Cavanaugh coming in from the Operating Engineers Local 150.
Yeah, your replacement.
My successor.
Your successor.
Yeah, she's doing a fantastic job, and they're doing a couple of really interesting things, continuing the fight on protecting energy options, natural gas in the city, and also they're having a concert at Local 150. Billy Bragg, the legendary labor singer, is going to be out there in a couple weeks, but I'll let her talk about
that.
Yeah,
that's a big get.
It is. Yeah. It should be a lot of fun. I mean, union concerts, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities there, so hopefully this will be the first in a series.
Yeah, this isn't, you know, Bob's cover band. This is a real rock star.
Legit guy, yeah. For sure. So, all right, well, we'll let Chrissy talk a little bit about that right after these messages on the Workers' Mic, 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. I'm Ed Maher here with Phil Davidson, and we have our guest in the studio. So welcome to Chrissy Cavanaugh. Chrissy is the Communications Director for the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150. Good morning, Chrissy.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having
morning.
Me.
Good morning. Nice to see you.
Thanks for coming all the way down here on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, nothing better to do.
That's not true. You
no
got a
place
lot
else
to do.
You'd rather be.
That's right.
That's right.
You put aside all your big plans today to be on the show.
100%.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, it's Greek Easter, so I set that aside to be here.
Is that right? Are you going to be in trouble?
Yeah. I am.
Is there like a makeup day for that?
No, I mean, this is the Agape service on Sunday morning, so the big one is on Saturday evening. So,
okay, so you already went through that. How long was that?
Yeah, it starts at 11 and it usually goes to like 1 or 2 in the morning.
I don't know why. Oh, that's a pretty long time.
But Kavanaugh doesn't strike me as a Greek name.
No, it's not. It's Irish.
Right. But you celebrate Greek Easter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I also celebrate, you know, Catholic Easter as well.
You're very well-rounded.
She just likes to celebrate. She's
one of those I'm
people.
A celebratory
good for
person.
You.
We need
good
more.
For you.
We need more people like that.
Yeah. I was expecting like Cavopolis or something. So sorry, that's on me for stereotyping.
That's like a hybrid. Yeah. Why don't you knock it off with that,
I'm
Phil?
Sorry.
How many times we've talked about this off the air?
I'm sorry.
All right, enough of that. So you're in today. You've got a couple of interesting pieces of news. But you're with the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150, as I said, which I'm a member. It's a place near and dear to my heart. So you're the comms director there. Tell us a little bit about what that entails.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you would know. I've had the chance to learn directly from you, but I've been there for right around 4 months, so still kind of learning. But it's great to be there and helping out the operating engineers. And, you know, there's never a shortage of issues and things that we are working on. Obviously, right now, you know, you've got negotiations and contracts, but we've also got things with the ICC and CABO in terms of the ban on natural gas. And we also have something really exciting, kind of the first for the union, where we're going to have a concert.
Cool.
Yeah, we're bringing in Billy Bragg, so it's going to be an exclusive for union members.
Yeah, he's like a labor music legend, Billy Bragg.
Big fan.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about that. When's it taking place? And, you know, give some details so people on the listening to the show can attend.
Yeah, so, you know, like you guys said, legendary. He's UK award-winning artist, and, you know, he's going to be able to come to the Local 150 Union Hall. It'll be May 29th, and $20 a ticket, so it's affordable, but at the same time, you know, we want really to get brother and sister union members out, enjoy the show, and it's actually a great story of how it came to be. Bob Bruno and Jim Sweeney. Bob and Jim were talking. Obviously, you know, it sheds a light on a little bit of what their conversations are over text, but, you know, this came out when there was a song, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, I'm sure you've heard of it, that Oliver Anthony put out about North Men or
Rich Men Richmond. North of Richmond.
Yes, you got it.
Yeah.
Yes. That was a hit of last year, right? Like everywhere. Like 100 million views on YouTube, I think, or something. And probably more than that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so even though, you know, he's kind of middle of the road, it was, you know, definitely picked up as, you know, a conservative anthem.
Yeah, and it became a rallying cry.
It did.
Right. Yeah. So, Billy Bragg, on the other end of it, heard Woody Guthrie saying, you know, you got to, like whispering to him, you got to do something, you got to help this guy out, as Bob shares it with me. And he basically put out a song and said, you know, Richmond making north of a million. And it's a response. And he, you know, sometimes he takes the lyrics and slightly changes them and adds some other things. But it's more or less a response piece to say, you know, join a union. If you're working hard and you're not making a lot,
right,
go join a union.
Right. There's opportunity out there for you.
Yeah. So they're exchanging these texts and saying how great it would be to bring Billy Bragg in, you know, to help the Illinois union movement. And obviously then all of a sudden Jim says, yeah, this is a great idea. And yeah. Bob says, really? Okay. And he starts pushing on different avenues, hits some dead ends with connections, and then he ends up having one in Nashville, and lo and behold, it works out, and they're able to bring Billy Bragg in for the concert.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I figured Bob would know some people.
Yeah.
Bob, of course, is from the University of Illinois Labor Education Center, and he's just, I mean, he's a nationally known labor expert, right?
There's really only one like him. He's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, so he's got those connections.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And when I said, well, really, how did this get to be where it's at? And he said, all you have to do sometimes is just ask.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Surprisingly.
That's awesome.
So when's the show?
The show is May 29th. It's a Wednesday, and doors open at 6, but the show will start at 7, and it's a 90-minute set. Tickets are $20 a piece. You can actually get them online now at local150.org. And, you know, members who are for Local 150, they're going to be 150 will cover the cost for their tickets, but you still have to register online at the same site.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if some other unions popped up and did that too. This is all coming together pretty quickly.
Make some calls about that.
Very quickly, but spread the word. I mean, this is
and it'll be
exciting.
At the Local 150 in Countryside, right?
In Countryside, District 1 headquarters. Yeah.
Cool. Serve alcohol, right?
Yes,
so
there will be
alcohol.
Yes. Better be for a Billy Bragg concert for sure.
Yeah.
He do you remember
Flying Chairs?
The album he did with Wilco?
Yes.
Mermaid Avenue with the song California
Stars
became a big hit. Yeah, that's a really good album. I think he did three albums where he used unfinished Woody Guthrie songs.
Really?
And then rearranged them. Like he had Woody Guthrie lyrics and then put them in added music. And he did one of those albums with Wilco. I think he did another one with Natalie Merchant, if I'm not mistaken.
Your musical knowledge never fails to impress me.
I do like music.
Yeah,
thank you.
I mean, I still listen to the same stuff that I worked out to when I was in high school.
Yes.
I honestly do. So, you know, I always learn a lot about your musical taste.
Did you work out to Billy Bragg?
I did not work out to Billy Bragg. I still listen to, like, 80s and 90s metal when I'm driving.
Slayer.
That's why I can't hear anything because, you know, I'm always maxed out on my volume.
Phil, did you just say Whitesnake?
I do like Whitesnake. I said Slayer. Yeah, what's your workout music?
I listen to a lot of like Seven Dust and Tool. Yeah,
I was gonna say Seven Dust.
Yeah, baby. and you know Metallica and just whatever, really, really heavy maniac
Let
stuff.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
That's Drowning Pool.
Oh, that's Drowning Pool. Sorry. Yeah.
Wow, I actually had to correct Phil on something with music. It's too bad Ken's not here. You know, he could add in a lot. Ken, our co-host, was in a metal band, of
you
course.
You told me that. Yeah, yeah. That's very exciting.
It really was. It really was.
Can you imagine Ken in a metal band in the 80s, 70s? Was it 80s?
Yeah, I think it was the 80s.
Yeah.
And then he just
in
up
New
and
York?
Became
wow.
a lawyer.
Yeah, that's a wild scene right there.
It's a natural path.
It really is.
Yeah. Linear.
It really is. You burn out on being a metal guy, and all that's left is to become an attorney.
Yes.
You know, I've seen it 100 times, Chrissy.
That's funny.
What's your background? I mean, you've got an interesting background. Before you got into the labor movement and communications, you were, a little bit in the entertainment industry yourself.
Yeah. After graduating at Loyola, I really just wanted to write, and so that's when I kind of got into the aspect of I was at the state and I was working in public relations there, and then moved over to Navy Pier in McCormick Place, and I was there for I would say about 5 years, and at that point I went back to school. But while I was at Navy Pier, even though I was working in the evening, I would do all the improv classes. So I started at Second City and did their beginning program, and then they have a second year of programs. I did some of their writing classes, and then I moved over to IO, took the training program there, Annoyance Theater, all the great, you know, there's so many, you know, Chicago is the center for it, and there's people that come from California. I mean, I had friends from all over who would actually move here to study improv. And then from there, I was on a team, and we performed just about every Sunday night. And at that point, you know, it's like 13 years in. You figure, you know, are you going to really move forward, or are you going to keep working? And so I just chose to keep working.
Yeah. Well,
I hear that.
I go to improv stuff as often as I can. I really enjoy it. And I've always felt like it seems so effortless. It just seems like people were born to do this. But when you're up there, I mean, it's got to be a little bit stressful, is it? Or, I mean, is it just, you know, through repetitions, it's like nothing?
I think if you're having a day where you feel off, it does feel like you're working and struggling hard. You know, it's all about the chemistry, the people that you're working with. It's really listening, and you're picking up on every little movement, or you're watching what they're doing. And sometimes it's the smallest thing that can open up a scene and really make it something that connects with the audience, but is just really funny, and it's all in detail.
You ever have those days where everything you try is just not happening?
No.
Oh, well, not for you. That's like every day. You're just a very funny
person.
Yeah,
I'm just funny all the time.
I feel like you're speaking to me with that question.
No, that's me. That's my life. I think I'm the funniest person in every room I'm in. I never get anything out of it.
That's not true. People still talk about your jokes. They talk about how funny Ed is.
I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. We've got just about a minute or two left before we've got to take a break. But one other thing that you are working really hard and doing phenomenal work on is this Cabo legislation that was put before the city of Chicago, where they were trying to ban natural gas hookups on new construction in the city, something that's been just panned all over the city as bad policy. So what's tell us a little bit about your news there.
Yeah, so this Sunday, we're for the second Sunday in a row, we're doing a full-page ad in the Sun-Times, mm-hmm. and then we're going to do a news page takeover on their digital site. And basically, it's sharing that there's an op-ed that's been authored by 31 aldermen, and they're sharing their voice of saying, hey, there's a concern here with the clean and affordable building ordinance. It's
right.
not good for plans to decarbonize. You know, you're going to affect workers, you're going to affect consumers, and it's not the way forward for Chicago. So they really are trying to say, let's end the ban on
yeah.
natural gas.
Well, right. So 31 out of 50.
Out of 50. I'm no mathematician,
majority.
But I think that bill might be
dead.
DOL, yeah.
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 Well, good. So that's great news, because that was a sort of a poorly conceived plan to begin with. But hearing that there is opposition to it that's steadfast and putting their name on it, that's great news. So hopefully that'll just be withdrawn, or maybe the mayor, somebody can find him with a microphone, which is not an easy task, and get him to maybe commit to backing off of this. So good work on that. That's going to probably, I think, protect a lot of jobs and keep utility work going in the right direction for workers in the city.
In addition to that, we are working with a coalition. It's called the Clean Energy Choice Coalition. Mm-hmm. And so FFC, who we work with closely on that, we're members of it. And this is a group of a number of unions. It's a number of organizations. And it's all really focusing in on making sure that it's not just in the city. They're focusing statewide, too. And driving home the point that we're all on the same side, that we agree we've got to make a good plan forward for decarbonizing and increasing the use of renewable energy sources, but you can't cut out natural gas.
Smart.
It's just not a smart plan.
There needs to be a transition.
Yeah.
Well, right on. All right, well, we've got to take a break, but thank you so much for coming in. Once again, that was May 29th for the Billy Bragg Show.
Yep, tickets are on sale. Get them now.
Where do you get them?
Join us. You get them at local150.org.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, Chrissy. It was great having you in.
Yeah.
And we will be right back with more Workers' Mike here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mike, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Workers' Mike right here on 720 WGN. I'm Ed, here with Phil, and we were just talking to Chrissy Cavanaugh in the last segment, and Chrissy's awesome. I thought she was a great guest.
Yeah, she knows her stuff. She's hit the ground running over there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a day in the life of a union communications person where they're like, plan a concert.
Yes.
Sorry.
Can we say the true glue of the unions is
the true glue?
Yes, is the comms department.
I've never heard that before,
yeah.
But you're 100% right.
Thank you.
I mean, communications, especially in like small unions that are trying to get the word out, is super important. But
yes.
you know, it's a form of internal organizing, because people are members. They have to understand what the union's doing, because like everything else, there's a an aspect of what have you done for me lately. So I think the communication industry's job is to remind people of what's been done on their behalf lately.
And I'm up for a performance review, so I just want to get that on the record.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'd say that you're on like a 4-point grade thing. I'd give you like a 3.8. I think you're outstanding.
Thank you very much.
Especially, it's mostly because you have a really nice haircut.
Excuse me, Kevin, did you hear that?
Yeah,
just Kevin. Make sure you're listening. Okay.
Yeah, he's doing a fine job. Yes. And his haircut looks really, really nice, which listeners can't see, but I describe it. But we do have a lot to get to in this segment.
Okay.
So we'll get right to it. There was an announcement that I saw on X the other day.
Formerly known as Twitter.
I'm not even saying that anymore. You had to do it. I'm done with it. I just say X.
Well, I don't know if you're talking about the band X, you know, the 80s punk
band. Again with the man. Again with the music. The music. Nobody else knows about this punk band.
They're a great band.
This is just some band that you listen to in your treehouse, and that's cool. I have no problem with that. But anyway, the workers...
On Elon Musk's platform.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
These cannabis dispensary workers from Sunnyside were organized into the Teamsters Local 777. I know that a few unions have been trying to get into the cannabis industry with grow operations and now on the retail side and the dispensaries. So congratulations to those workers, because just like everybody else, you know, they deserve to have a good place to work and deserve, you know, these operations I think are highly profitable. I heard that this stuff's kind of expensive from somebody I know that went to one time.
Interesting.
Yeah, but
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, me neither. Nope. Me neither, Phil.
Wouldn't see any in my treehouse.
No, absolutely not.
So so when they organize, is it all the employees? Does it go by any type of classification there? Because, I mean, you have the growers, you have the quote-unquote bud tenders. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's a very good question. We should have somebody
security there. Yeah, I would like to learn more about that.
We've
got to
have somebody come in and talk about it, because I know that some unions have been going after workers in the grow operations.
Yeah.
Right. And then on the retail, like the shops, the dispensaries, different unions are in there. So it's fascinating. I should know more about this. I'd like to know more about it. So we'll work on getting
a
guest in.
Yeah. It's a mixed bag too. With some of them build union.
Right.
Which obviously we're big fans of and we support, and then some of them build non-union, and then we got to get Scabby out and read him the Riot Act.
Yeah. We should get Scabby out there and put like some red veins on his eyes.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, Scabby's not high on this idea.
No way.
But the federal government just this past week, it was huge news. They are reclassifying, I think it's the FDA is reclassifying cannabis, so they're going to reclassify it.
Yeah, invest in cannabis stocks right now. Not that we can give you advice about investing, but
you may experience a loss.
But no, stocks are way up for cannabis stocks. I saw Cresco's up and Green Thumb, and
not that you're watching this stuff or
anything. But you know, obviously now there would be a Schedule 3 drug that would open it up for more research, I know. And it would eliminate all the banking restrictions that are currently in place. So
I did a paper on this in college, because of course I did.
Okay.
About how it was a Schedule 1 drug, or currently is still a Schedule 1 drug, and I think
the same as heroin.
It has no known medical use or value. But it really takes these enormous businesses, and they're not allowed to do business with banks, because banks are federally regulated, so they have no place to put their money in. It's such a huge cash operation. So I think that's something that's being applauded everywhere. But, you know, I'm always reminded that in the building trades, construction workers, they are it's a profession where you cannot play games zero tolerance policies with alcohol, with drugs, with any kind of intoxication. So even if a drug is legal, or alcohol, which is legal, you can't show up at work and be high. So
which is understandable. There are so many inherent risks
100%.
When you're working in the building trades, when you're up on a skyscraper, when you're operating heavy machinery. Yes, you need to be clear-headed.
Yeah, and unions and contractors are united, pushing on drug policies and testing policies, because everybody's got to be safe. I mean, safety, accidents are the biggest, you know, expense, the biggest slowdown in construction projects. So safety is paramount to everything. But it's interesting, because the way that testing works for cannabis, you don't know if somebody's high right now or if they were high yesterday. So, I mean, when I was with Local 150, we would always just tell our members, just stay away. It's legal. We understand. Everybody's excited, but
it stays in your system for a long time.
Yeah, and the testing is not modern enough to really protect you.
Yeah, that's going to be a trillion-dollar industry when someone figures out how to give an instant blood test.
Honestly.
You know, for to test if someone's high or not.
But, that's a good idea, Phil.
Yeah.
We should start working on that.
I already got my papers written up on it. So
let me just, can we rewind that and cut that out? No, we can't do that because we're live. Okay, man, there's our idea. Somebody just probably came up with it, or by the time we
it
leave
was on
here,
Shark Tank maybe. Already.
Oh, man, Mark Cuban, can't he just leave something for the rest of us?
No, there goes our window. But
come on, man.
But I think for pre-employment screening, some unions have eliminated
right.
THC. But as we said before, okay, so you can potentially pass the test to get hired. Mm-hmm. But then if something happens, obviously, if you get in an accident, if you get injured on a job, expect to be tested, and then that's really going to hurt your case if you do test positive. So, as you say, stay away might be the best advice right now.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's constantly evolving. Who
right.
knows what it's going to look like?
And all this is just for the listeners in the state of Illinois, because if you live in Wisconsin or Indiana, you're going to jail because
right.
it is still a crime, which
that's
I think
right.
is just the most tricky thing to understand about all this is how something can be okay and then 5 minutes away you'll go to jail for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't think they even have medical in Wisconsin, which is
I don't know.
Which is unfathomable.
Yeah.
I mean it's got Milwaukee, it's got Madison. Obviously there's been a lot of gerrymandering there, but it's at the very least a purple state.
Yeah.
And for them to be that far behind when I mean, it's more than half the states now, I think, have medical, if not
yeah.
three quarters.
Yeah, right after we passed that here in Illinois, my dad was ill and he wound up passing
yeah.
from cancer. But he had a lot of medications for different things. And at some point, he was able to get a card and start using different like edibles and things like that.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable, the improvement in like his
really?
Appetite. He could get out of bed. So, I mean, I will forever be a believer in the, you know, the power of certain things
yeah,
for
the medicinal
for
use of it.
For,
yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
So the fact that it's being reclassified, I think, will facilitate that on a federal level for
yeah.
more medical use and studying and things like that. So you don't have to hear it from me. You can hear it from an actual doctor that
Look
you can
that.
Believe about. Such things,
because right.
you know, if you hear Ed on the radio talking about cannabis, you know what is. Of course, he's going to say it's great.
Yeah, you're a comms guy.
I know. So, I was getting gas the other day, Phil, and I noticed that it's getting about that point of the summer where gas is starting to go up because,
yeah.
of course, heading into 4th of July, that's always the day that they say where gas peaks because everyone's driving the most.
Yep. But yeah, it's over four and a half almost in
Chicago?
It was
like, I bought it out in the suburbs
okay.
for four something, like 405
okay.
This morning. And I had heard something earlier this week about the Federal Trade Commission investigating a deal between, I think it was Exxon and a company called Pioneer, two oil companies that are merging or something. And what they found was a bunch of messages from this Pioneer CEO to American oil companies and OPEC, the oil cartel run out of Europe and the Middle East.
Yeah, the Middle East, right.
Where, you know, they're artificially giving each other signals and giving each other assurances that they're going to slow down production to keep the prices
really?
Up. Yeah.
Collusion,
that's exactly right.
Okay.
So it continues to drive me insane that you can have a couple of people just say, we're going to make it, we're going to slow down production a little bit. And that costs everybody who owns a home that's powered by, you know, natural gas or oil, where they still use that up in the Northeast.
Yeah.
Anybody who drives a car, which is, you know, most people over the age of 17.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sort of the... kind of the nonsense that ordinary folks who aren't, we don't have the luxury of being engaged in profiteering on this sort of shady level.
No.
We hear about it, and it just sort of shakes our, our belief in the system and the belief that everything is kind of being run on an honest playing field.
Yeah.
What
happened
even
to
playing
free
field.
Market capitalism? You can't have your thumb on the scale.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's price gouging.
Well, speaking of price gouging, too,
yeah.
the Senate, there was a Senate committee hearing this past week on corporate price gouging,
yeah.
where they determined that throughout the second and third quarter of 2023, out of all the inflation that was caused, because this is a year ago we're talking about, a little bit less than a year ago, but this is when inflation was still going kind of wild.
Yeah.
They said that 53% of that inflation was driven by corporate profits. So everything got more expensive. But it wasn't because it should have cost more. It was just because companies were like, let's throw another 5% on that. Let's make a couple extra bucks. This
yes.
is an opportunity.
We have shareholders to report to, yeah.
Yeah, and in the 40 previous years before that, they said that corporate profits, and you know, accounted for, I think it was like 10% or 11% of inflation. So, you know, people love to blame presidents or credit presidents when inflation is low or gas prices are low or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, anybody who looks
it's
at this
closely.
It's
a lot more complicated. Yeah. Especially with gas prices, too.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, all those stickers you would see at the gas pump saying Biden did this. I mean, as you said before, I mean, it's I believe the price of gas is tied to the price of crude oil. And when you have, you know, especially with the pandemic and you have the war in Russia and sources of gas being shut down. I mean, it's not just one president's policy that's going to determine
or even
the
like
price of
somebody
gas.
Thinking there could be a threat to the supply. The price goes up.
Absolutely.
And then a week later, it's like, oh, there's nothing. No problem. But the price doesn't go right back down.
Right.
Because there's one guy, and apparently it's the CEO of Pioneer, who's out there, you know, just they're colluding with each other. They call it OPEC. The C in OPEC is cartel.
Yes.
Or is it countries? It's cartel, I'm going to say today.
It's cartel, yes.
Yeah, I think it's cartel.
We'll fix it in post if it's not.
No, it's not. It's cartel. Okay. I'm saying it's cartel, and it should be because that's how they operate. But, you know, the fact that inflation that has hit everybody and put a hurt on everybody in America is just being driven, more than half of it, the majority of it, is being driven by companies that are just seeking to profit and buy back stock, which buying back stock was illegal until like 1982. It was a price-fixing maneuver that was illegal.
Really?
And it should be again, I think, because all this stuff is just being used to make millionaires into billionaires. And, you know, a famous saying that I find a lot of use in is pigs get fed and hogs get slaughtered.
That's right.
But there's nothing wrong. We live in a capitalist society and nothing wrong with people making a little bit of money. But when they are making money at the expense of everybody else,
I mean, I'll look at it.
Yeah. We
and that's what they're doing in Congress right now. So there's going to be a hearing on this.
Yeah, they had a hearing. And, you know, I hope it continues. It seems like so much that happens in Congress just gets lost because, you know, the public doesn't dislike or disapprove of anything as much as they disapprove of Congress.
That is true.
Which I can't always disagree with.
Yes.
So, all right, we've got a few more things to get to, but we will have to take a quick break and we'll be back with more Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial.
Welcome back to The Workers' Mic here on 720 WGN. I'm Phil Davidson here with my partner, Ed Maher, and we're on our last segment of the show here. There was something that made some interesting news this week regarding our good friends at Trader Joe's, and this one hits especially close to home because the particular Trader Joe's where they're having a union election is, I believe it's Ken's Trader Joe's.
I think it is.
Yeah, out there in North Center neighborhood of the city. But their vote came down to one vote.
Yeah, the result from their election was 70 to 70.
Yeah.
70 for the union, 70 for not having a union.
Yeah.
But there's one vote that's being contested. And I think they have 5 days to hear all the, you know, the petitions and stuff like that. But so we should hear something in the next day or two because the votes were opened this past Monday.
Yes.
Trader Joe's has gone to great lengths to bring in
the bust.
Highly paid union busters. Yeah. And, you know, they put all their folks out there in Hawaiian T-shirts. And my hat goes off to the employees at Trader Joe's, even though I'm on a one-man boycott.
Yeah.
You know, they always do a great job, but to put yourself out there as a company that's sort of like neighborhood based and friendly and all this stuff.
Yes.
And then to wail on your employees the way that they do. It's just disingenuous. And we call them Traitor Joes because they're also working to dismantle the National Labor Relations Board.
Yeah. This isn't just opposing a union election. This is they went right to the nuclear option.
Yeah. Trying to take away workers' rights to actually form a union, which that's insane. It's too far. It's sacred. Workers deserve it. Workers have had it for almost a century now. And, you know, so Trader Joe's, shame on you. But we'll find out, I guess, a little bit more.
We'll keep you guys posted.
That's a tricky one, though, because 70 to 70. So even if it winds up 71 for the union, 70 against, the union's going to have a tough, tough road ahead because they've got half of their group that didn't want them in there.
They've got to convince to get on board, right?
Right. So they're going to have to, if they get in and they move forward, they're going to have to do a heck of a job early on and get some early wins, which, you know, companies are having a tough time doing with companies that don't want to negotiate, don't want to sit down with them, don't want to talk to them.
Yep.
So they'll have their work cut out for them.
Well, if they do become a union operation, studies show that they will get a pay increase.
Right.
because we just had that report come out this week looking at Bureau of Labor Statistics, saying that union members had a 6% wage increase,
right?
Compared to non-union members, who were like 4%.
Yeah, they were about 4%. So it's about to get into percentages, because we know you all love that.
Yes,
out there in the world, that's 50% more for union workers than non-union workers.
I got my calculator out. That's correct.
Thank you very much. Yep. I was always very good at math, but yeah, that's a huge deal.
Big time. That stat figure alone is a reason to join a union. The unions are literally lifting up wages of members, and then, as we always talk about, in addition to non-union members as well, because they have to compete now with the union wages and benefits, and I don't understand how you could be opposed to that.
Well, that, and I mean, places like Starbucks, where workers have tried to form a union, the company in many places has taken away the option for employees in stores that are trying to form a union to get tips.
Yep.
So nobody's asking for a tip because the employees can't collect tips. So, you know, in places where they're trying to unionize, some companies will use the stick, but many will use the carrot, where it's like, hey, listen, we're going to give you, you know, a raise just because you're all so great. And then when the union's like, oh, they're never going to give you a raise, they're like, well, no, they just gave us a raise.
Yeah.
So the wage increase is something that's used to keep unions out too. But the rising tide lifts all boats, as we always say. And we'll find out, I guess, in Alabama in probably 2 weeks now. Mercedes on the
UAW?
Heels of the UAW's win in Tennessee with Volkswagen. They are going to an election for the Tuscaloosa, Alabama Mercedes-Benz plant.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, we're talking Alabama. We're talking about as deep south as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And for generations, people have said, you know, you can't unionize a company in Alabama.
But no, I didn't think it was possible.
As I always have kind of said, the people will support an option to advance themselves if they feel like it has a legitimate chance at succeeding. So they saw what happened in Tennessee, and now they want a little piece for themselves.
Yeah,
so I guess
a crack in the wall.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And the CEO of Mercedes-Benz USA was bounced this week, or maybe the end of last week, I just read, because he was starting to pull in employees and say, hey, if you do this, you're going to have to pay a bunch of dues. Things aren't going to get done around here anymore. It's going to be a really, really bad thing. So Mercedes ousted him and replaced him. So the workers are kind of just like, well, I mean, this guy's been sort of like this for a long time. And now that we're heading into a union election, Mercedes finally does something about it. But, I mean, heading into a union election, Mercedes did something.
Yeah. Wow. So he was having captive audience meetings.
You might say that he was having captive audience meetings, which big news out of Springfield, the Employee Freedom of Speech Act just passed on Thursday night out of the Senate in Illinois, and that bans these captive audience meetings from taking place. It's one of the oldest, most broadly used tools by companies that are trying to keep unions out, where you just pull employees in, make them sit there. They can't leave until you're done, and you can just say whatever you want to them.
Yes, and then they just detail all their propaganda about why unions are bad and why this is bad for the company and bad for their own personal finances and interests. And obviously, it's a bunch of garbage. But I mean, if you can get away with that and you're an employee, you kind of feel threatened. And if you're not hearing from the other side, you can see why some employees would succumb, and when it comes to election time, they would vote against the union. But it's a ban that, and that's huge. And it's not many states that bans captive audience meetings. So we would be, I mean, probably a handful that do it already. So this is a big initiative of the Illinois AFL-CIO.
For sure. Tim Dre, Pat Devaney, and all the folks down at the Illinois AFL-CIO, they have been working tirelessly on this. So this is a big deal, and it'll go a long way to try to take a speed bump out of the way of workers who want a union.
And it's not just union. I mean, it would ban based on religion, based on political speech.
Well, yeah, you go to work to work. You don't go to work for somebody to be like
proselytized.
To you about politics. Talk to you, especially when it's your employer and you feel like, okay, if I want to keep my job, maybe this is an implication that I've got to like row the same way as this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people... life's hard enough.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to go to work and have to be told how to vote, how to believe, how to worship, whatever.
Yes. Right.
So hats off again to the State Fed, the Illinois AFL-CIO, for all their work on that. The NLRB came out this week and said that the head of Amazon, the CEO, Andy Jassy, was getting a little bit sassy.
Was he now?
Because he didn't do the... That's right. He didn't do the closed door meeting. He just went out in the media and said, You know, I would say to all of our workers, you don't want to do this. There will be, you know, we'll see you if you're supporting a union, and you know, you'll be less empowered. It'll find it harder to accomplish things at work. And what the NLRB said was that he violated labor law by, you know, putting out these sort of like opinion unfounded mistruths to his workers, saying that they would be identified. You know, it's like a form of surveillance. So
yeah,
he's very upset. He said his First Amendment rights have been violated, but. You know, he's the CEO of Amazon. So I don't know. I'm not.
So he did an interview and just basically was trying to speak to his employees
right.
via the interview.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, either way, just stop talking bad about unions, company yeah. owners,
because
yes. your employees clearly want them. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
So we're almost out of time. But the final thing that we have for this show is a very, very important and appreciated listener of the week. And Phil, I'd like to pass it over to you.
Yes. Today's listener of the week is a person near and dear to me, my aunt and my godmother, Noreen McDermott Zimmers. I know she's listening because she listens every week, gives us good notes on the show, what's working, what doesn't. As she tells me, this show has really opened her eyes to the importance of unions and what we're doing to keep corporations accountable and mm-hmm. fight for the working class. So I just want to give her a special shout out. She recently had a birthday.
And, happy belated.
Yes, and is something near and dear to your heart, Ed. She is a huge fan of Waffle House.
Oh, man.
So I know that you guys are soulmates at this point. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I look forward to meeting you. Thank you, Noreen. We appreciate you. And, you know, reach out to us. We love hearing from our fans, and we'd love to feature you as a listener of the week coming up. So if you've got something good to say, reach out. If you have something bad to say, you could be like Chris. We can make you the anti-listener of the week from last week.
There is that. Yep. Careful what you wish for.
But we've got to run. We are all out of time. So have a great week, everybody, and we will be back with you this coming Sunday on 720 with more Workers Mike.
The preceding episode of The Workers Mike was powered by the Midwest Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, and Voya Financial. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers Mike, visit WGNRadio.com.